Or better yet, a quiche that was abandoned underneath a bench.
Oh, the poor quiche.
I get the reference. I get the, yeah.
I'm surprised that
we just weren't ready for that you the found the abandoned.
I'm surprised that you found the abandoned quiche.
Well, it's if you don't immediately turn like on the lit path on the way back, you kind of keep going in one direction. And you're like, oh well, this is a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's kind of it's kind of interesting with that game. I watched one person stream the first third of it, and this was after like from its release to, you know, about 3 months ago, to where I was like, you know, I might play it, but I don't want to ruin it. And then finally, one of the people that I watched is like, I'm just going to stream this. I'm like, I'll just watch it. And I watched the first third of it.
I had to play it so damn fast because everybody in the local community was just obsessed with Undertale. So, like, you couldn't go and hang out with people without getting, like, little spoilers here and there. Even if they were trying to be cool about it, like, it'd still happen. So I was like, fine, I'll play it. And I, like, had to play it in, like, the span of 3 days.
That's my feeling. That's my feeling with the new Zelda at the moment, because I still need to get it. And I will get it this month, probably.
Yeah. What happened with me is I watched the first third of it played. Like, they got up to, like, Waterfall or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a weekly stream, so I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to just sit here and wait. So then I watched Jacksepticeye play it the entire way through, and then the Genocide Route entire way through. And then the other guy came back, and he released the rest of his. I'm like, I'll watch this too. So I literally watched four playthroughs of this stupid game.
I played it without even knowing what it is, so I was one of those happy guys. But I already started to not murder anyone because I figured it out. So I murdered the first enemy, you know what it is?
Yeah.
The dummy. And then I was like, Mo, you cannot kill them. And then I turned back and restarted. And then I did the pacifist route almost immediately. At first, the neutral route, because, yeah, that's where you end up first. And then I did the pacifist route. And I can't bring myself to play it again, the genocide route, so I just watched a let's play of it.
Well, there's pacifist route, and then there's true pacifist route. And I mean, same genocide route. Like, if you start off and you're peaceful with everybody no matter what, you'll get one ending. If you play it again, you're still peaceful throughout, you'll get another ending.
Yeah.
My favorite aspect about it is the music itself.
God, like, yeah.
I listen to the music all day at work. Like, to the point where I think I burned a hole in my SD card from listening to Megalovania so much. Like, the file I have now, it skips. It just stops playing at, like, 2 minutes in.
Jeez, dude. You're kidding.
I personally love Hardek, the theme of Toriel. You would know the fight.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to spoil it. Oh, I think... Is it still considered as a spoiler?
It's been out for like a year and a half. Yeah.
Yeah, we're good.
So, we can just start spoiling things after like 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
Rose Blood is the sled. Dumbledore dies.
My favorite music in it was the spider battle.
Oh yeah, that music is great too.
That was just the catchiest, bounciest song I'd heard in like forever.
Yeah, but it's generally the same song when you fight against the ghost. How is his name again? I forgot it.
Napsabluke,
yeah.
It's Toby Fox uses leitmotifs.
Yeah.
And so Ghost Fight and the Mad Dummy and Spider Dance, they all use the same like bass theme to it.
Yeah. Oh, but cool.
Mm-hmm. And then besides Megalovania, my favorite probably is either Spear of Justice and or Nya and Bergen Trucking.
Which one?
Oh,
Bergen Trucking. It's Asgore's fight.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Bergen Trucking is like the intro. before it.
Did anybody ever watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Like, briefly. Yeah. 1 second. My phone is ringing.
Yeah, I hear it. That was my reference.
Hey, your phone is ringing, by the way.
Salem Saberhagen. Like, whenever the phone would ring, he'd be sitting right next to it. He'd just be like, phone. Even though he could actually answer the phone. He was just a super lazy cat.
Yeah, he could.
I do not know who that is, so I'm not going to answer.
But you would need to give him the catnip so he would do it. So I know it's serious.
I kind of realized, like, there's a lot of, like, little tiny, like, things that I do that are kind of based off of, like, Salem Saberhagen from the show. I didn't realize how finely ingrained it was, like, until I saw a few episodes again. And, like, I call Fridays Fridyaw, and that comes directly from Salem Saberhagen. Like, that's what he calls Fridays. I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, you took interesting role models.
Yeah, right? It's Fridyaw.
So, another thing that I've fallen in love with was the stupid, like, fan videos.
I kind of like it, too. A lot of fan animations are pretty good, especially the fight against the secret genocide final boss.
Oh, yeah.
The bird!
All right, what do we have to drink today?
I found some stuff under the sink.
You shouldn't drink it.
No, small griffin, don't drink that. Put that back. Ah.
No, it's tasty.
No, put it back and go.
I think it's German, too. It says it's Dorno. It's kind of like blue.
Well, okay. So we've lost our griffin twice now.
No, I'm still here. I mean, I grew up drinking laundry sauce.
Laundry sauce?
Yeah.
Laundry sauce.
You just put it over your potatoes?
No. Laundry sauce is Tumblr's name for washing detergent.
We don't go on
Tumblr. You know,
Tumblr.
Like how when you...
Tumblr's
yes.
full of crazy people.
But that's... We're all bird brains here, so we have to be crazy.
Well, silly. I would say silly.
Yes, we're far more intelligent than Tumblr.
Crazy.
Like the stuff that you pour over your breakfast, it's cereal water.
Okay.
Or like at the sporting events, you know those cans that make the loud noise. You know.
Is this like also in the same vein of like renaming animals like giraffes or long horses?
Yes, or
savannah cows,
or manta rays are the majestic sea flap flap.
Yep, sea pancakes, sea flap flaps.
Oh man.
Okay, besides drinking things under the sink, what are we actually drinking today?
Go ahead, please.
I drink Kugelbauer Helles Bier again.
You're drinking Kookaburras.
Yeah, Kookaburras. Yeah, I drink Kookaburras.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I am finishing off some of the Rolling Rock that we have in our nest.
So, I know you told me before, but what is your opinion of the Rolling Rock again?
The Rolling Rock is a very good domestic beer. Basically, if I have to go to like a Walmart and buy booze, then Rolling Rock is it.
Okay,
if I can go to a specialty store, then I prefer Unibrow. I enjoy La Fin du Monde or Trois Pistoles.
Okay, so it's your daily driver, like daily drink kind of thing.
It's what I brush my teeth with.
Oh, okay. All right, this is episode 27 of Bird Life. I'm Core.
I'm Fleeks.
I'm Chirpalicious.
He's Storm. He's totally he's Storm.
Totally Storm.
Totally Storm. 100% Storm.
Yes. Oh,
right, Fleeks, what are we doing this week? What are we here for? Why did you wake me?
This week, we are doing an episode of Bird Life. Also,
thank you for that.
Also, the topic we have is bird icons. So, or icon birds, I call it iconic birds. And we are talking about bird heroes from a childhood or from daily life, like birds that are on cereal boxes, or birds from Duckburg, or birds from cartoons, like so the Looney Tunes. Or,
I can totally get like Daffy Duck or even Donald Duck kind of thing, or, you know, Roadrunner, that kind of stuff. But if, like, one of your iconic heroes is Toucan Sam from Fruit Loops, there may be some deeper problems we need to address before we continue. So, maybe not cereal boxes.
Hey, well, Toucan Sam is like America's cocaine addict.
What?
He follows his nose, and he gets the very colorful, powdery goodness at the end of it. Unlike the Trix rabbit, who just continuously fails, he is America's heroin addict.
I have to be fair towards Toucan Sam, because of all the cereal box birds, this bird is it's well designed, and it's a cool character.
There's like two cereal box birds. There's Toucan Sam and then the guy from Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, and he doesn't get nearly enough love. Seriously.
But you mentioned DuckTales, and that's very interesting, because have either of you seen the trailer for the DuckTales reboot?
Oh, and it's Sunny, the cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Ah, right. Sunny. So have either of you seen the trailer for the new DuckTales that's coming out, I think, next year?
I have not.
A new DuckTales cartoon.
Yes, they're rebooting it, and
I totally would watch it.
I have a comment to make when I watch this trailer. It has a very unique animation style, you know, the kind of post-2010 sort of, it's not very clean animation, but it's got its own spin on it. Kind of like how Adventure Time or Rick and Morty have this unique sort of style.
It's kind of like this loopy, almost druggy kind of thing going on.
Not as much. It's still got a Disney to it, but it's not like the same that, you know, we're all ingrained and used to from the 90s. But like the thing is...
Like Gravity Falls, for example?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Okay.
You'll have to look at the trailer
to get what I'm saying.
But the point I'm making is that they had Launchpad in the trailer, and the way that they drew Launchpad, he was on screen for a total of 5 seconds throughout the entire trailer, and the first, like, half-second flash that you see of him, I paused on his face, and I'm like, that looks like Patrick Warburton.
Oh, man.
So freaking much. And then he opens his damn beak, and whose voice just falls out of it.
I
got so pissed off. It was Patrick Warburton.
Why are you pissed? That's amazing.
Because I looked at Launchpad. I'm like, that cannot be. No, they're not going. They did it. Damn it. He's in everything.
Patrick Warburton's been kind of like a big thing in Disney for a long time, as well as, you know, other cartoons. But, like, I mean, Emperor's New Groove, that's kind of where he kind of launched his career from.
Yeah, that's true.
And then,
but, you know, I'm so used to Launchpad from the 90s. I actually have Launchpad on my Mac as the icon for Launchpad.
Okay. Well, have you watched a series of unfortunate events on Netflix yet?
No.
Okay.
I have not.
Patrick Warburton actually plays the narrator character of it and does an amazing job. Well, that entire series is amazing, but he does an amazing job of it there. I would murder. I would sacrifice 3 virgins to have his voice. I would, like, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but I don't like the fact that he always looks like he's staring at the sun.
That's okay. It's a sacrifice I'm willing to make, including the 3 virgins. You know what? Up it to 6. I'm okay with that. I'll go the extra effort to get 6 virgins and throw them into a volcano if I could have Patrick Warburton's voice. I can't.
Where are you going to find 6 virgins?
Welcome to the fandom.
So, I just looked up the style of the new DuckTales cartoon, and how are the three kids that are living with Donald Duck are called in English?
Huey, Dewey, and Louie?
Okay, it's Tick, Trick, and Truck in Germany. So, they look kind of strange. They look kind of strange a bit. They have a pretty much new design, but on the other hand, it looks pretty good. The style, I think, I would totally watch it if it has the quality of the newer series of Disney, like Gravity Falls and stuff. So, I would totally watch that. I will totally watch it. It's not I would, but I will.
I think I would watch a few episodes of it here and there, yeah. I'm just kind of getting it pulled up looking now, and it does look good to me.
As a kid, I really loved the DuckTales series. It was like my favorite show because it was told so well, you know. The narration of the series were pretty great, and it was not like every episode was for themselves, but it was like a story told over all the episodes. And I liked that. And
dude, okay, I'm sorry. I got to interrupt you just really quickly here. I'm just looking at the cast lineup for the people who play certain people. David Tennant is playing Scrooge McDuck.
Okay.
Am I the only person who's voice... like freaking out about that?
Because that's the voice of Darkwing Duck.
Oh.
He played Darkwing Duck before?
I thought he did.
I'm going to have to look that up. But also from Parks and Rec fame, Ben Schwartz is playing Dewey. Did neither of you watch Parks and Rec? Seriously?
I'm dumb. I have the dumb because David Tennant is Doctor Who.
Yes, that's who he is. And Ben Schwartz played John Ralphio on Parks and Recreation. Fleeks,
I don't know all the series.
I'm gonna have to make you like sit down and watch a few like episodes like on Netflix.
You know, the '90s were kind of rife with duck shows. We had DuckTales, we had Darkwing Duck. We had the Mighty Ducks, we had Quack Pack.
Yeah, what was up with the '90s and ducks? Like for real?
I don't know.
I don't know, but I think like the ducks are a very iconic part of Disney, and Disney has a lot of duck related stuff, and other animation studios that did ducks too, or birds in general. Birds are very, like, for example, that's the topic of the show today because there are so many bird characters.
One of my favorite crossovers was Who Framed Roger Rabbit. There's a scene where there's Donald Duck and Daffy Duck doing dueling pianos. And,
I remember that.
Like Donald is just like spouting something off angrily, and Daffy just kind of looks at the audience and goes like, "The heck did he just say?" Something like that. But it was just like very, very good homage.
I thought that there was a scene where he drops a very racially charged word. Like it's kind of like one of those again, and one of those like 80s and 90s things where it's like, did he really say that, or
I'd have to go back.
Is it him just grumbling?
Oh, one more cast member lineup from this. What is the band's name? Garfunkel and Oates. Have you guys heard of Garfunkel and Oates?
Not me.
I have heard of them.
Okay. Kate Micucci is playing Webby Vanderquack. She's the short, kind of, like, goofy, nerdy girl. She was also on Raising Hope. And I think... Oh, yeah, she did actually have a part in Scrubs, too. If you guys have watched Scrubs, she falls in love with the lawyer.
Okay.
Pop culture! Get on board, guys! Seriously!
Yeah, I know Scrubs, but I can't remember that somebody fell in love with the lawyer.
Yeah, I'm...
For some reason.
I gotta say, I'm either really good with certain actors and actresses, or I'm horrible.
Okay, so you got David Tennant. I'll give you credit for that. But, like, Parks and Rec and Raising Hope, you guys, like, I'm writing down a list right now. I'm doing this. You guys are going to fucking watch these things.
I honestly still haven't gone through Orange is the New Black.
But to come to another voice actor of the new DuckTales, Tony Anselmo still gives the voice to Donald Duck, and he was like the classic actor since 1985. So that they still go with him.
So, what would your favorite bird in pop culture be? If you had to pick one.
Oh, that's a good question. As a kid, I really liked... who was it? I kind of loved Donald Duck as a kid. But I was very deep in the Disney universe. I had the Mickey Mouse magazine every week. But I really like... do you know Don Rosa?
No, I don't.
Don Rosa? Don Rosa does the best Donald Duck and Scrooge McDuck comics in the... If you really enjoy a Donald Duck comic, then it's probably from the author Don Rosa. He really does the best comics, and I loved his comics. And therefore, I think I really like Donald Duck. Okay. I really like Donald Duck.
Have you ever seen the DuckTales movie?
I did, yes.
Yeah. I watched it like 300 times as a kid. I really enjoyed it.
I think as far as... So like in the pre-planning stages of this, we were like trying to think of other iconic ones. And you mentioned Roadrunner. Roadrunner had a special place in my heart when I was a kid. Like, I just appreciated like how... casually much more clever than everything else he was. Like, he wasn't, like, he didn't try to be smarter, he just was himself, but, like, any obstacle he came up against, including Wile E. Coyote, he just casually, like, outsmarted it. And I love that about him, like, you know?
I recall one episode of Roadrunner where Roadrunner got sick, and Bugs Bunny had to substitute in for him. And, like, to run incredibly fast, he had to, like, take these, you know, acne speed pills or whatever.
Oh, boy.
But it was so interesting to see how even that, with the dynamic, you can take out one character and put it in and still have the charm of, you know, what they were going for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As far as me, my iconic characters are a little bit more recent. But, The one that I can think of first that's incredibly obscure, there was this like hero cartoon. I forget what it was called. Again, very obscure, but there was this Griffin character named Greer, and he was like one of the sidekicks. And I was like, oh my God, this is the first time I've seen a Griffin in like a syndicated, you know, TV show where it's usually just a bird or a duck or, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. There's also the Griffin from what's the movie? It's not the Black Cauldron, is it? I think it is the Black Cauldron. The horribly, poorly tortured Griffin that just can't get anything done right.
I have no idea.
I really have no idea too.
And then, of course, there's my personal favorite, which is Gilda. No,
we're not going that route.
I have to admit,
it took me a second, but no.
That her design is pretty neat. So yeah.
So sorry, I just want to interject. So any of the Marvel fans that we have listening to this episode, don't forget about Howard the Duck.
Oh my God.
So, very, very old character, like very early comic character, initially kind of started off as like a slap, like not slap, but like, you know, a bit of a poke to Donald Duck himself. And then he actually kind of developed and like more was made about him. And in 1986, they actually made a movie called Howard the Duck. It was a Marvel movie.
I've seen this movie. It was scary.
Yeah. And then,
directed by George Lucas, nonetheless.
Yeah, it's true.
What kind of... How's the movie called?
Howard the Duck.
The Duck.
Oh, Oh, yeah.
And then,
oh,
what, if you paid close attention to Guardians of the Galaxy recent, like the first movie, not the second one because it's not out yet,
yeah.
But Howard the Duck did make a very brief cameo in one of the prison scenes, I think.
Yeah, he's actually owned by Marvel Comics, Howard Duck.
Yep.
And as I saw him in the end, the Easter egg, I was like, okay, yeah, I know that duck.
Nervous laughter.
Do you remember the topless scene in Howard the Duck?
I can't remember.
It's been forever. It's
in the very beginning when he's rocketing through the apartments. He crashes through one woman's bathroom, and she's taking a bath, and you can see well, I guess you can say breasts because it's a bird. So.
Oh yeah. The something chicken in breasts. Mm-hmm. I think I can remember this scene, yeah.
The nostalgia critic poked fun at it. He said, duck tits, woo!
Feral, there's actually art of, like, feral birds with, you know, boobs on them. It's disturbing as fuck. Like, even, okay, so Family Guy actually had, like, the Groose? What is it, a Groose? I don't remember. But,
the
yeah.
Angry Chicken?
That whole scene was just straight up disturbing.
the Family Guy actually has a ton of bird jokes. Oh god, I don't talk about the surfing bird running gag that appears regularly.
But you can also fill an entire episode of Family Guy itself with nothing but chicken fights.
That is true.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest with you, as much as I've seen quite a few episodes, I don't get it. I don't know where the chicken comes from. I don't know why they have the feud.
They actually call a reference to it. The doctor character did something and, like, genetically engineered an angry giant chicken.
Oh, okay.
It was a throwaway joke that tied it in as, like, a lampshade that they just hung on, like, why is there a giant chicken and why is he always angry?
And they just kept going with it. Sweet.
Nice.
So I asked in bird chat for people to email us and message us, you know, iconic bird characters that have kind of resounded with them, and I got a few replies. Fleeks, did you get any replies?
No, because you only told them to message you.
Oh, that's... Damn it.
I also got no replies. Fleeks, you're failing. That just needs to be assured. I blame Fleeks.
We can put it in the bird life market.
So, what did you get?
I don't care how inaccurate it is. I just would prefer a nice sheath versus a cloaca. I don't care about aerodynamics. I don't care about anatomically correct.
Well, that's what you get for being a griffin.
Well,
true,
well.
But we are superior. We are the original species.
Stinky cat butts.
Even Sable agrees. One of them.
Of the many.
A large minority group of the Sables.
Random fun fact. Random koala fun fact number two. The females of the koalas have two vaginas.
Kangaroos have three vaginas.
Okay, what?
Really?
Yes, really.
There's, why?
It looks like, imagine like a trophy with two handles. There's one main entrance for the business, and then there's two offshoots for the bird scene to go into.
Of a kangaroo.
Of a kangaroo, yes.
So not bird seed, but...
Well, depending on how you're looking for E621. But also, a kangaroo has three uteruses, too. Main one that does what a uterus is supposed to do. There's a secondary one that essentially keeps a fertilized egg in stasis until the first one is born. until the first roo is born. And then the pouch itself is like a pseudo-uterus, because kangaroo roos are so tiny when they're born. They essentially crawl out and crawl up, and it's like moving
the
to
pseudo
your
uterus. Yeah,
it's like moving to your parents' basement.
If you want to put it that way, okay, sure,
sure. Go with it.
Marsupials are just weird. Okay, like if there was a genus of like creatures that had to have come from a different planet because their evolutionary line makes no otherwise sense, all of marsupials. It's like they were originally on the moon when the moon was a planet and then smashed into the earth, and they just kind of hopped off the moon and they're like, well, we're here now in Australia, so why not? And then a few of them got flung way far off into, you know, other locations, but still.
Oh, Australia, everything is backwards there and upside down.
Anyways,
I mean, they also have egg-laying mammals, so
that is true. And I learned recently
they have all the cloaca animals.
I also learned recently that the naked mole rat is the only cold-blooded mammal.
Who?
Naked mole rat.
Oh yeah.
You know, like from Kim Possible.
Rufus.
Yes.
Yeah, that was actually a question in one of my exams, so. I knew that.
So I do have an email here from Feedy, and it's very lengthy, and I haven't had time to pre-screen it very well. But I'm just going to go with it. How's that sound?
Yeah, just extract the most important... yeah, it's Feedy, so it's lengthy.
Fair enough.
Take out the juicy bits.
He has a lot to tell.
So Feedy, in response to avians that, you know, influenced his life in one way or another, he has to say, for the birds and listeners here who don't know me, I'm a blue macaw. You probably think of the bluebird from Rio right now. Well, yes and no. You're partially right. My roots are partly in Rio. My story begins with Rio. He is very full of words. It took a bit until I realized who and what I am, but being a bird is something special, and being a parrot is not a conviction. You're born with it. You have it in your heart and your genes. For me, parrot is my world, my beginning, my destiny, and my legacy. I am a pure bird. How could I ever be something else? One day, my mom came into my room and threw this DVD onto my bed. Rio. I was confused in the first place. I wasn't interested in the movie, nor did I know of it. Why the heck did she buy it? She decided my fate there. I watched it. Pretty normal, regular movie, nice animations. Not much, though. Except the main characters were macaws, and music parts were cringy, but no. I wasn't done with it. I didn't know it yet. Something built up in me, and I felt strange. You were being transformed. The dancing scene in...
I was going to make a comment that it's very interesting to see like where everyone gets their origins, you know, where it could be just a movie or a cartoon or even a scene in a movie like that. But, no.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just little things kind of have those influence. Like Salem Saberhagen with me. What the fuck? Well, so, the dancing scene in the club. I began to think, while I had tears in my eyes, what is happening? What the hell is happening to me? It felt so good, so right. I started to wish that I'm blue because the movie exactly hit what I expected in my life. Exactly this. I wanted this to be my life. I wanted to be a bird. He goes on for quite a while talking about Rio and how it affected him. I'm going to cut it off there, and, you know, I just want to say, like, Storm said it right. Just a little piece can kind of just have that domino effect where a maybe insignificant little thing can kind of change your life for the better in the long run. Have you guys had any experiences like that?
For me, the biggest influence was just seeing that my Native American zodiac is a woodpecker, and then I got it drawn. I wanted to draw myself as had myself drawn as a woodpecker, and yeah, then I got this perfect character design from Sian Yati, a very talented artist, and yeah, that was it for me. So I was like. And then joining the bird crew was a point two. So now I have a bird character, and I feel super comfy with that character.
I feel like the bird crew is kind of like the final nail in a lot of people's coffins for, like, guess I'm a bird now.
Well, yeah. For me, it was a little less, I guess you can say, like, awe-inspiring and eye-opening, where originally I was creating a character for a muck back in the olden days of the interwebs.
Oh, and nostalgia.
I just kind of, yes. And I just kind of turned off my my brain and, like, all right, you know, what am I going to be? And I just started typing out this description, and there it was, you know, the green, scaly loveliness that I am today. And some people also ask me...
You mean black and red beakiness that you are today?
Oh, yeah, yes, totally, totally. Okay. I completely forgot that...
Just making sure.
The, we have multiple personalities, don't you know? I'm not crazy, yes, we are.
I actually can remember another thing from my childhood, and that was from our pharmacies, we are getting some... you can get monthly something called Medicini for kids. That's like a giant animal poster, you know. And on the other side, you can read, like, facts about the species that's on the poster, and other... There are games and stuff.
Oh, cool.
And... there was a reportage, is that correct English word? I'm not sure right now. They told you about facts about penguins and how they live and stuff. And then I, as a kid, I thought, like, wow, I want to be a penguin. I already mentioned that in the last episode, but I don't think so anymore, but as a kid, that was like, oh, cool, I would like to be one of those birds. Yeah, that was me as a kid, and but that went away, and now I'm a woodpecker.
I think there's something kind of mythical about penguins. Like we all kind of have this obsession with penguins as kids that we kind of grow up with, you know?
Today we shall see the penguins stop a 300-mile journey.
Oh,
several of them shall not survive the trip, the harrowing cold and snow. No one's mentioned Zazu.
Oh, from okay. Lion King?
Yes.
That's true. Did he actually play any significance in Lion King? Like, or was he just kind of there? I think he did some spying on the hyenas, but that was probably the most significant part. I don't remember, though. It's been a long time.
I think he takes a larger role in the later movies that are not worth watching it, mostly. But in the cartoon series and the newer ones.
Yeah.
So how he became the... how's it called? The one who is with the king. Sorry, I missed a word.
The advisor.
The advisor.
The advisor, thank you. The royal advisor. And yeah, I've read about that.
In the first movie, yeah, he's just kind of the comedic relief.
So who would you think would win in a battle to the death between Iago and Zazu? Two Disney birds that didn't really do very much.
Well, Iago had a lot more anger and determination.
But yeah, I think was that Iago himself, or was that just Gilbert Gottfried?
They are one and the same, are they not?
Yeah, I think Iago would win because, as far as I remember, Zazu is a bit clumsy.
I can totally see that executive board meeting going down when trying to, like, find a character to work as Iago. Like, guys, we need to find an actor who can play the part of a parrot. Do we know anybody who sounds like a parrot all the time? No, no idea.
But I'm sure there are voice actors that can do that.
Do you know who voice acted Zazu?
I don't remember.
It was Rowan Atkinson.
Okay.
Mr. Bean plays Iago.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I totally can. So yeah, I know I'm more sure that Iago would win.
Speaking of odd actors from Disney, I'm just still surprised how much Cheech and Chong are in Disney movies.
Well, you gotta understand, Cheech and Chong were kind of like the rock stars of the era of that, like, time of, like, animation. Like, so all the people who were working on animation and stuff at that time, they grew up knowing, like, Cheech and Chong things. Like, that was their pop culture.
But Disney is supposed to be a very...
kid-friendly?
Kid-friendly. And
They you know, never really have been, though. They've been totally willing, and like, except for Disney Channel itself. Like, Disney has always been totally acknowledging of, like, you know, you got to throw something in there to just kind of throw a bone to the adults, you know? Just, like, these little undertone, like, low-key kind of things they just throw in the movies to make you go, wait, what? Oh, okay. That's happening right now.
So, what about, like, all the secret subliminal things that are supposedly in Disney movies? Have you heard about any of these?
All of them, yeah, pretty much.
About what?
So there's, like, little subliminal messages that get thrown in to Disney movies, like, especially the classic old ones, like Rescuers Down Under. There was actually, like, a full-on, like, nude thing between a man and a woman in, like, the background of a scene that was just moving really quickly, so you had to pause to see it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Or in Aladdin, he says, all good teenagers take off their clothes.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Actually, there was also... That was a scandal because one of the editors of Disney smuggled for only one frame a picture of a naked woman in one of the cartoons. I forgot what it was exactly, but somebody found that, and Disney had to get back all the VHS and stuff. That contained that one single frame of naked. Woman and huh. one of the editors was a troll, so
yeah, that was our Rescuers with the naked woman in the window.
I didn't know they did a recall of that, though. I thought they just let it go.
I remember as a young grifflet slash dragon slash I forget what I'm supposed to be. The drain was affecting me, but I had an original copy of the VHS box of The Little Mermaid with a schlong on the tower.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was very, very just out there, blatant as can be.
I thought the iterations of it were actually like kind of supposed to be like subtle, but like once you saw it, you didn't unsee it kind of thing.
No, this one, you can kind of just like, yep, that's a penis.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, tentacles.
Tentacles.
So, I do have one more reply here from Maury R. Concerning birds that had influence of his life. I think we actually mentioned... Well, he's mentioned this before, but he recommends the book Dark Lord of Dirkholm, because it features a biomancer in a fantasy settings. His universe is being used under a binding contract as a theme park-style adventure by one universe owner. He gets picked to play the role of the Dark Lord that year, and it's up to him and his family to mitigate the disaster. His family includes four griffins and he created and raised as his children. It's been years since I read it, but my recollection is that most of the story follows the children, which include the griffins prominently. Dragons are also present, but as the start of the story, they're all in a bad way and on their way to the grave. That makes me want to read it significantly more.
That's such a shame. I've actually read a couple of very, very nice series about griffins. One of which is the Black Griffin, or the Black Griffin, the Silver Griffin, the White Griffin trilogy. I forget who writes that. I want to say it was Mercedes Lackey. Have either of you read that?
Mm-mm, not yet.
It's a very good series, basically about a war where griffins are used as aerial troopers, and one is a very attractive black griffin who is a very strong and powerful warrior. Could not see a reason why I have a bias at all. It was honestly a very good read, and it was one of the very very nice like hidden gems that I picked up in a library one day, and nice. It was like, wow, this. And then the other one I read was, I believe it's a trilogy called The Griffin Wars, where there was a human city guard and another black griffin who is a feral beast. And both of them are a bit outcasted and very very angry about their worlds in particular. So they kind of team up and wreck shit. And there's like hardcore scenes in there and Ow. Like very violent death. It's beautiful. it makes my heart a flutter.
So the first books you were talking, the first trilogies you were talking about, it sounded more like a young adult, like fiction kind of thing. Am I right?
It's fantasy fiction. There is, I wouldn't call it young adult, like preteen. I'd say it's like more late teens to,
yeah, I'm talking about more like, I'm not talking like Twilight kind of young adults. I'm talking about like, yeah, the, you know, 16 to 19 kind of age range.
Something around there. Was, I mean, it still has a few scenes that would be a little inappropriate for the school age birds that are on our listeners list.
Oh, okay.
Like there's a few scenes with massage artists. They go into details on reproduction a bit because in this series, griffins are like a magically created species by this one very benevolent wizard character. I'm struggling to remember the details since it's been a few years since I've read it through. You know, yeah. There are a few parts. It's kind of like if you've ever read The Lost World by Michael Crichton.
Right.
And the scene where it totally isn't, but it totally is, with the T-Rex and the Jeep. When he kind of rubs up against the Jeep and then sprays his musk all over the windshield.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they're not supposed to have those reproductive urges.
life finds a way.
From what I understand, the Jurassic Park novels, I haven't read them, unfortunately, but they are vastly different, like, atmosphere-wise than the movies are, so.
They are, and I also have to say that Jurassic Park as a novel and as a movie is one of the few things that I can say the movie does stand alone as a good, viable movie against the book.
Without, you know, interjection of the book.
Well, yeah, or just, you know, like kind of taking the book and making a Cliff Notes 2-hour pill of, yeah, here you go, this is basically it.
Yeah, like the Harry Potter series. Don't get me wrong, well, still good movies.
Well, my favorite Harry Potter movie is The Order of the Phoenix. And that is also known as The Blue One. Because if you ever watch that Order of the Phoenix, you get about 10 minutes of color at the beginning, and then the rest of the movie is just a blue filter.
Okay.
I'm going to have to take a look at that. One second.
So, I've been...
So do you talk about the movies or about the book?
The movies itself, they go through some very interesting director changes, and...
Yeah.
Just the way that they portray them, like how they see them in their mind. But that one sticks out at me is just, it's all blue all the time. Like, okay. You don't see anything other than a blue filter. It's... If you haven't seen the movie, then you can't get what I'm saying, but if you've seen the movie, then you'll never not notice it again, where everything is blue. Or okay. Has a shade of blue. Okay. I'd say there's about 50 or so shades of these blues.
I think I only saw the first two movies and the last one, and I was so disappointed by the ending of the last movie. Oh God, the book, the ending was so good, and in the movie they screwed it up.
So I've been just informed that we have a few BirdLife chat challenges and questions. Is this correct?
That's for the end section of the. Episodes.
Mm. Well, okay, we actually are approaching the hour mark, so we could move on to that section if we have nothing else to do.
I have a quiz for you to the topic. Are you prepared?
Sure.
Prepared? Are you ready for the quiz? And the quiz is multiple, a single choice, and yeah, I give you a question and four answers, and you pick the right answer. Okay. And you're playing against each other. Okay. At least that's the plan. We're starting with that, and maybe we're ending with you're helping each other again. Who knows?
Fair enough.
Okay. So the
are you ready, Storm?
Oh, well, as the superior griffin, I am the best at quizzes. I have never lost a single question in the history of bird life.
Right.
Sure. And the power of my large griffonic brain and intelligence shall prove me right once again.
Maybe your cat butt can help you, too.
The cat butt is a very comfortable position.
The cat butt.
Not sure where you're going with that one, but
the cat butt. It's part of the Birda Sutra. It's somewhere in the back.
Okay,
a comfortable position. I got it. So, who is not a villain of Darkwing Duck? Who is not a villain of Darkwing Duck? Okay,
is this multiple choice or do we just get a shout it out?
Multiple choice. Okay, yeah, you can. It would make no sense if you
Dewey,
Lex Luthor,
Greg House.
Hey, you're all right. You won the question. No, so multiple choice: A, Megawatt; B, Bushroot; C, Hammerhead; D, Liquidator.
Well,
Hammerhead. I want to say. I thought he was from another cartoon series.
No, the correct answer would be Megawatt. The villain that you're thinking of is Megavolt.
Yep, exactly. That was a trick question. And you fell for it, Core.
Well done.
Yeah.
Hammerhead is one, I think. Bird zero.
Okay, so, yeah.
So you admit that first you're not a bird.
It's for Dressel.
No, lesser birds, I should say.
Okay, you are a lesser bird. Got it.
No. We continue, are the pure please. Species.
What is the name? What is the name of the Kellogg's rooster? A. Chicky. B. Elector. C. Caesar. D. Cornelius.
Well, obviously it's Elector. No, it's D. Cornelius.
Yes.
Okay. Both of you get a point. I already asked the question. I just wanted to know. How good of a listener you are, Core.
Okay.
The last time you did not know. So you learned something from me. I'm proud of myself. so, and that's, I think, a more difficult question, depending on if you know that movie or the series or not. What bird is pursued by Dick Dastardly and his Vulture Squadron? A. Cupa Doodle Dove. B. Pippa Poodle Penguin. C. Janky Doodle Pigeon. D. Humpa Goompa Goose.
Oh, man, you are.
I think it's time to cut you off, Leeds.
What?
I think it's time to cut you off from what you were saying.
Dude, I remember Dick Dastardly and the Perils of Penelope Pit Stop. Man, like. I want to say it was the pigeon.
It's okay. You take C, right?
Yeah.
Janky Doodle Pigeon. Okay.
Yes.
And Dressel?
Can you give me
the answers again?
Yes.
Cupa Doodle Dove, Pippa Poodle Penguin, Janky Doodle Pigeon, Humpa Goompa Goose.
I'm gonna have to say Yankee Doodle Pigeon.
Yeah, and you're both right.
Yeah, Fleeks,
what can you tell me
as
about
a German, you had to have had a lot of fun coming up with those extra names.
Yeah, for sure. Can you tell us something about the series? Because you told us that you got a throwback.
So I used to watch Boomerang a lot as a kid because, I mean, all these television shows are still even before my time. Mm-hmm. But there was this one series that actually had like all of the characters like thrown together. It was like a racing series, kind of in the same vein as like Speed Racer and all those.
Oh, Wacky Races.
Yes, there you go. But that kind of was like what introduced me to Perils of Penelope Pit Stop, and Dick Dastardly was the main villain in that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was always trying to capture and mess up Penelope Pitstop's day. She was basically Princess Peach before Mario was ever a thing.
Okay, cool, cool.
And because, Dick Dastardly would be very close to Waluigi. I'll just put that out there.
Waluigi, so you have to take your money.
Bird Waluigi.
Yes.
Okay, okay.
Wah!
Good. The next question. Wah! The next question is, I think you can answer that. Which of those bird characters is not property of Warner Brothers? A. Beaky Buzzard. B. Plucky Duck. C. Chili Willy. D. Go-Go Dodo.
I'm going to say Plucky Duck is actually...
No, Plucky Duck is... it's Warner's.
That's You're sure he is Warner? Well, damn.
That's Tiny Toons.
Oh, that's Russell, right, because he was... Okay, no, you're right. Fuck, then I really
Russell,
don't know.
You're the worst competition.
Chili Willy is Hanna-Barbera, isn't he?
Fleeks, read him back to me one more time, please.
Okay, I read all of them again. Okay, A. Okay. Beaky Buzzard. B. Plucky Duck. C. Chili Willy. D. Go-Go Dodo.
Okay, well, Drezel, honestly, your argument makes more sense. Like, he sounds like he's from something else. But I'm... For the sake of not trying to tack on your answer, I'm going to go with the Dodo.
Go-Go Dodo.
Yeah.
And you, Drezel?
Chili Willy.
Hmm?
Chili Willy.
Chili Willy. And yeah, the Griffin is right again. So, also, Drezel, you're like the worst.
We need to make that. We need to make that a soundbite. Mental note for our editing staff: the Griffin is right again.
The Chili Willy. Chili Willy is actually a penguin, and after Woody Woodpecker, the most successful character, the second successful character, and property of Lance and Universal. So it's a universal bird.
Oh, okay.
Brief tangent from the quiz. I just remembered in episode 25 when we interviewed Sable.
Right.
You were asking about lawyers.
Okay.
And I have to say, I am very disappointed that you did not say that your lawyer would be a phoenix.
Yeah. I know what you're...
Who is the most...
Oh.
Yeah.
Who
phoenix
is the
Wright.
Most...
Phoenix Wright.
Iconic lawyer.
Flicks, that's on you, because that's your game series that you're addicted to.
I know, but I did not want to be that cheap.
Okay.
And since we talked about Woody Woodpecker in the last, since I mentioned him, yeah.
Uh-huh.
What kind of woodpecker was Woody Woodpecker originally?
Damn it, I don't know my species of woodpecker.
Inspired by. Yeah, that's why I now give you a list of woodpeckers.
Okie dokie.
Pileated woodpecker, or however you pronounce it. B. Great spotted woodpecker. C. Acorn woodpecker. D. Black rumped flameback.
Pileated.
Yeah.
You say pileated.
I'm going to say pileated too.
Okay, you're both wrong. I mean, it's. I
really? Because he has the red crest.
Emphasis on originally.
Yeah.
Because originally he was based on an acorn woodpecker. But his design is very much a pileated woodpecker, so this question was a bit mean, but the creator actually had an acorn woodpecker as inspiration.
Oh, okay.
It's just woodpecker bias.
Yeah. I had to ask a Woody Woodpecker question, you know that. Which citizen... So now an interesting question for you guys. Which citizen of Darkburg is called Dagobert Duck in Germany? A. Donald Duck. B. Scrooge McDuck. C. John D. Rocker Duck. Or D. Flintheart Glomgold.
B.
Or Glomgold. B. Okay, what are you saying, Drezel?
Dagobert.
You say
that. I'm going to have to say A.
Okay, then this time only Core gets a point.
Yay, and we're even again. Wait, no.
Scrooge McDuck is Dagobert Duck.
He's
in
1 point
Germany.
Ahead. Damn it.
I don't even know why they changed that. Maybe Scrooge is a bit too complicated
for
Germans.
Scrooge is a what's the, not euphemism, what is, but it's, it was a colloquial term of the time, so it would be okay. used to describe someone who was like a major penny pincher.
Yeah, yeah, because of the this Christmas story.
Yeah. So then what exactly does Dagobert translate
Dagobert
to?
Is just a male name.
Oh, okay.
It's just a male name, and Dagobert Duck, and Donald Duck, he's D-D, you know, D-D. It's an, how is it called, alliteration.
Gotcha. So it's, it they didn't have good. To change the animation.
So, and yeah, that last question, you I already give you a point for that because it was the name of the royal advisor bird, Redbill Tornbill, appearing in The Lion King, and you all know that.
Okay.
Okay, so in the end, Dressel has 5 points.
Storm.
Yeah, but I give the points to his roommate. So, and Core has 4 points.
Such a glorious and wondrous roommate that he is.
So 1 point difference, but...
Okay, so, well, yeah. Now it's time for me to flip it on your guys' heads. For no reason whatsoever, I decided to do a Bugbird or Bluff today.
Oh, no.
And Storm, since I know just how much you love it, I'll start with you.
I am the best at Bugbird or Bluff.
Okay.
even if you think that I'm wrong, I still get it right because the anthropologists just change history based on my whims.
I thought you controlled the weather, not anthropologists' whims.
Well,
that's a weird superpower.
Well, when you can summon up lightning on anthropologists' nests, then they get the message really quickly. It's part of the Griffin Mafia.
Hey, at least you're actually giving anthropologists a real purpose in life.
Irony.
All right, Bugbird or Bluff. You guys know how it works. One is a bug, one is a bird, one is fake. So, here we go. Minute Pirate. Apomina. Popopo Cococo. One is a bug, one is a bird, one is a bluff. Which is which?
One sounds like an anime.
I could see that.
I'm fairly certain that Apomina is a bird.
Correct.
And Minute Pirate or Popopo Cococo.
One of those is a bug.
Well, either Popopo Cococo is something that you made up on the spot, or a bug somewhere in the Galapagos Islands. So I'm going to go with Popopo Cococo is a load of bird crap. And Minute Pirate would be the bug.
And you'd be correct. You got 100% Storm. Good job.
And because I am such a loving and intelligent and well-rounded bird, who also laid a trap card at the beginning of this podcast, I have a counter for you of Bugbird or Bluff.
Oh, okay.
The difference is that Fleeks cannot help. Fleeks must remain silent because this Bugbird or Bluff is German.
In German?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Do you hate me?
Well, Corey, you know I just adore you.
God damn it, Storm.
The most difficult storm that you must weather will make you all the better once you finish.
So, all right, bring it
your
on.
Your choices of Bugbird or Bluff is Fliegenschnapper, Gottesanbeten, and Kummerspit.
The last one. Sorry.
So
I couldn't even tell if I did not even understand the second one, but the other two, I'm clear. I could answer that.
Gottes Anbeterin, Fliegenschnapper, and Kummerspeck.
Oh my god.
Vengeance is sweet.
One more time.
Fliegenschnapper. Gottes Anbeterin.
Bluff. Last one's a bird.
Kummerspeck. So you're saying Fliegenschnapper is a bug?
Yes.
You are wrong.
Damn it.
You're saying Gottesanbeten is a bird.
Bluff.
Or did you, that's a bluff. You are wrong.
Fuck.
And Kummerspeck is wrong.
Fuck.
So
Kummerspeck is sorrow bacon, like the fat you gain when you eat because you're sad.
Yes.
Well, it's going to be my lifestyle now.
Fliegenschnapper is a flycatcher. And Gottesanbeten is a praying mantis.
Gotcha.
So, now you know.
I'm going to go cry now. But first, before I go cry, Fleeks, you have your bug burger bluff to get through. And this one's in English.
Okay. I can speak this language mostly.
Better than many. All right. Shy murderer. Short-legged ground roller. Lampshade.
The first was shy murderer, like a very shy, like the shy guys from.
Okay. Wait, shy the murderer, like killer.
Shy, like shy.
Shy, like they hide. Oh, they're very shy. Yeah. They're timid.
May I kill you?
Basically, the shy murderer.
And the second one was
short-legged ground roller. Ground roller, like he rolls around in the dirt. And the last one was lampshade.
They all sound like a bluff to me. I am glad that this one is not mine.
Okay, I would say short-legged ground roller. The first thought I would have is, wait, it's probably a trap. I go and risk it and say that the short-legged ground roller is not a bug, but a bird.
And you would be correct, sir.
Ooh, because the first thing I thought about were those spiders that are tumbling through the desert, but they have a different name.
That would horrify me. Okay, straight up.
The first one was the shy murderer.
Yes.
That, think about it.
And the other one is a lampshade.
Mm-hmm.
One is a bug, one is a bluff. One is a bluff, one is a bug. Bug bluff.
I say the shy murderer is a bug. The lampshade.
The lampshade is a type of spider. The shy murderer is just someone who murders you, but they're very shy about it.
Okay. I'm not too deep into bugs.
I'm going to put this knife into you, if that's okay.
Oh, well, so, I can't say no to that.
No, it's not
face.
Okay. Oh, no, that's not okay. Sorry, I didn't want to bother you, but I really need to murder you. I'm sorry.
I told you to stay out of my shed.
I will try tomorrow again, okay? Go away. Okay.
All right, Storm, it's time for the questions. What do you have for us this week?
Oh, questions. Oh, these are one of my favorite parts of Blep. First, we have from the almighty and wondrous Eclipse Griffin. He has a challenge for us. Name as many countries as you can which have a bird on their national flag.
Fuck. I was hoping we could skip this one.
Oh, God. Yeah, the only I know is Albania.
I want to say Mexico has like an eagle or maybe a lion. Damn it.
I will look that up for you.
Yes, Albania has the eagle. The black eagle.
Actually, they have. Okay. Albania has one and Mexico has one. Okay.
We also have the Christmas Island. I remember. And the only reason I remember this is because on a website, I forget the name of the website, but you can take like these timed quizzes where like you name all the flags and they show you the flags.
Uh-huh.
Some island part of the U.S. or something have like
Many of the U.S. states have like a few.
I will Google that.
But they're states, not countries.
Not a state. More like a territory.
Well, one of my favorite flags is the American Samoa because
Exactly. That's what I was talking about. Samoa.
I want to say that a lot of the less important, less cared about European countries have birds on their flags too, or griffins and lions.
Yeah, we have a lot of griffins, lions.
One other that comes to mind: the Virgin Islands.
I'm gonna have to look that up, but I think I'm gonna check Puerto Rico. But I want to think that they have.
I just remember all these because they're eagles, and eagles are clearly one of the best birds.
Uh-huh.
Not the best, but, you know.
Doesn't have Ecuador? Ecuador one?
Nope. Puerto Rico does not have a bird on their flag. My bad.
But Ecuador. Ecuador.
I'll check it.
I just go through all the South American countries right now. I'm just guessing. I'm sorry.
They do. They also have an eagle on their flag.
Okay.
We also have.
How could I forget this? Egypt. Egypt has definitely a bird on their.
Oh yes, Egypt does. The little gold bird.
I just go through the American flags, the South African flags. Egypt is not American. I mean,
Egypt is also not South African. It is.
It's North African.
Opposite of South Africa.
China.
China has stars and.
Oh, never mind. It was
something else.
China has stars and sadness on their flag.
And smog.
Let me think. How is this country called?
Kazakhstan.
Are we just Googling them now? Or are we actually naming off
No.
This is
Europe
my superior
right
graphonic intelligence shining through.
A.K.A. Google.
I have an eidetic memory for anything bird. But we can also move on to this next question since the challenge has pretty much been decimated one way or another.
You win, Eclipse. God damn you.
I'm Montenegro. Montenegro. That was the name of the country.
Hey, also one more thing. Just a shout out to you, Eclipse. Look up the history of the woolly mammoth and cyclopses. I think you might find an interesting read there based on what we talked about before. Anyways, go ahead.
So, we have a question from Solember. Solember asks, what is your favorite piece of mythology or lore surrounding a type of bird?
I think that's actually when Zeus rapes Venus as a swan. Because it's so absurd. Because he transforms into a swan and has sex. No, it's not actually a rape. He seduces, I think it was Venus, as a swan. And that's so absurd. So she wouldn't have sex with Zeus, but she would sleep with a swan.
Dude, the Greeks, man. And Zeus. Zeus is just a parable on his own, okay?
Yeah, Zeus... Yeah. Zeus is just your typical fur con goer. You see an animal and you want to hump it.
I actually have stored somewhere around here a line chart of everybody that Zeus has boffed and their offspring. Like the entire, anyways, lineage, yeah.
So, yeah, a swan, yeah. Yeah, I like it because it's so absurd. Just because it's so absurd. That's why I like it.
My favorite bird lore involves Articuno, Zapdos, and Moltres. Fuck.
Ooh. Well, if you're going to go with that, then you also have to include Lugia and Ho-Ho.
Pokemon actually has a lot of lore surrounding avian-type creatures exclusively. I think Latios and Latias, they're also kind of draconic, but they're very, very avian inspired. Yveltal, very avian inspired. All of their gods. What's that?
Even the common birds are incredibly overpowered. Like, I think one of the Pokedex entries says that Pidgeot can fly at like Mach 2.
Yeah.
It's just redonkulous.
Yeah.
Or the fact it's a Pokemon. That you can take a 1-pound bird and fly upon it as a 10-year-old child. Yes. You just shove a CD in its mouth and it learns how to fly. Because as Pokemon knows, no bird knows how to fly until you put a CD in it.
Exactly. They have to either level up or gain that HM.
So, what about you, Dressel?
I would have to say that my favorite would be the story of the Phoenix in general, the symbology of the Phoenix. The rebirth, renew, and that also kind of entails to the summons from Final Fantasy series. They have a lot of very, very interesting birds. They have the Phoenix. I believe one of the holier summons was depicted as a bird of some sort at one point. And one of the other things that comes to mind is from Final Fantasy VIII, their thunder bird, Quetzalcoatl.
Yeah, that was, I liked it too. Imail did not like Final Fantasy VIII, but that's another story.
I have actually nothing to contribute here because I haven't played any of the Final Fantasy games.
But yeah, phoenixes are
you
present.
Have homework, Core.
I know, I have so much homework. But so do you, both of you, not watching nearly enough movies and TV shows.
Hey, I'm very picky with my TV shows, okay?
Well, I just sent you three good ones in chat.
Okay, I will look them up.
I believe we have another question from Eclipse.
Oh, no.
Eclipse is very popular today. Eclipse asks us, if Birdania has a sports team, what would the name be, and what would its mascot be?
Oh, okay, that one's not so scary.
The mascot would be a heron. For some reason, I think a heron would make a very good mascot.
Do you think of that because of Orzel?
Orzel?
Here, let me get him pulled up.
Not sure, but I think this is more the influence.
I think it's just the general, because you bring up mascot, and Orzel Tasty Eagle is a very birdy mascot.
But he's an eagle.
But he's still a mascot character. His character's very mascot-inspired, I should say.
I totally would say Jouster. Jouster would be our mascot.
Who's Jouster?
Jouster is another of our bird friends here. I'm not sure if he's part of bird life, but he's a very very interesting character. I've met with him a few times at cons, and he is the same species of bird as the Vlasic Pickle bird. That's who I would think of for our mascot. I have to put my vote in for him. Because I obviously can't vote for myself, because then what? I would be playing as the center of the sports team. But
okay,
as far as the name of our team, I'd have to go with
not the Griffins,
the Pekkas.
Oh God. No.
I was going to keep it classy and say the Birdania Squawkers.
I could actually get behind that. It's really cheesy, but kind of classic in a way.
Why not make it an alliteration and say the Birdanian Beepers?
Because I would have to say that beeping is not as aggressive as you can be. And when you're in a sports team,
you
really
got to
pound the competition down into dust. And what better way to have 50,000 bird fans cheering you on by going...
Okay.
So we have the next question. Our penultimate question is... Let's see, Regda. is our question.
Okay.
Favorite feral and favorite anthro bird character from movies/games/general media.
Hmm.
So I guess that means that we get two answers out of this. One anthro and one feral.
Feral is the chocobo. Generally chocobos. I love chocobos. But on the other hand, I also like Kazooie. Kazooie is great too.
And I think say Kazooie.
Yeah, then we have something in common, core. Yeah.
Have you played Ukulele yet?
No, I haven't yet. I don't have a console at the moment.
Or a PC?
But I will do it. My PC is not for games.
Ah, okay.
Except, I would have to say, well, I already mentioned it in chat one or in this once, that Pharaoh would have to be Gilda. Gilda is best because Gilda is Griffin and Gilda is best. But for Anthro, from the video game, I would have to say, I don't know if this would count as Anthro if Kaipora Gabora. Would you consider him Anthro?
I don't know who that is. Spell it out.
Kaipora Gabora is the giant owl from Zelda.
Oh, hang on.
Oh. I did not know that.
That would be feral. That would be very much so feral.
Yeah, that's very much feral.
Okay, then in that case... Ooh.
Nobody said Ka so far.
Said Ka?
Nobody said Kaas so far, or Kaas.
Oh, haven't played Zelda yet. I want to.
Yeah, I haven't played it too, and I know that there are more Anthro birds, and I haven't seen him acting or something because I don't want to get spoiled.
Oh, Medley. There we go. Medley would be my favorite from Anthro.
Okay, what's Medley from?
Medley is also from Zelda. She is the sage from Wind Waker.
Oh, the little... okay.
The little very cute bird girl that plays the harp.
Gotcha. Lots and of you birds can, in Zelda. Just saying.
And you can take control of her and they kind of fly around. And her gimmick is that you can use her harp as like a reflective surface to like shine light onto puzzles and stuff. But very, very cute, very demure, very sweet little bird.
Gotcha. Okay.
I have a problem to come up with an Anthro bird, except maybe some birds from Disney stuff. Like I said, I think Donald Duck was one of my favorites as a kid.
I thought you said Kazooie was yours.
But that's not...
No. Kazooie is also more or less feral. They are also Anthro, because Anthro doesn't only say they are walking on two legs. And all birds walking on two legs, oh my god.
But, no, anthropomorphized is like human traits. Yeah. Kazooie is very much so very birdie, with like, you know, a few human-esque things, but still birdie.
Yeah, that's hard to answer for me. But yeah, you have a general idea of what characters I like.
Yeah.
So, Cor, did you give your...
So he stole Kazooie from me, but as for anthro birds... You know, why are, like, none coming to mind?
Yeah, same here.
That's the problem. I can't think of any anthropomorphized birds that are not classic Disney.
Well, Foghorn Leghorn wasn't Disney.
It was Warner Brothers, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have our last... We have our last question here. And this is from Moriar. Asks, which is kinkier? Wearing jesses or clipped wing feathers?
Jesses? I don't know what jesses are.
The leashes on falcons.
Oh,
on the legs.
The little bird caps. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. No, not caps. Not caps.
Totally a cap.
No, jesses are on the feet. Or
yeah, the caps are the hoods.
Oh, okay.
The hoods.
So no, they're wearing chesses like they are bound on their perch with those chesses.
Gotcha.
So it's basically, like... it's you can't get away, pick your poison, sort of thing.
Mm.
I guess I'd have to go with clipped wing feathers, because at least you know I wouldn't be bound to literally just one area. I could still wander around.
Why should anybody clip wing feathers? Clipped means like making them shorter, or
Well, it grounds the bird. Both of these are grounding actions. Like, you can't take
that's
off.
That's me. Oh, no, that's not for me.
Well, it's a kink thing, so.
I've got to say, the Jesses are a lot hotter.
Yeah,
more kinky.
Same.
The Jesses because are also less permanent than clipping the wings.
Yeah.
Not only that, exactly. But you have the rich smell of leather.
Okay. Mm. It's true.
Reminds me of a fresh kill in the summer.
Okay. So actually, I would have another additional game I came up while we did the show because of the mention of Tumblr. And hey, can you Tumblr rename the following birds?
Oh no.
And the first one I came up with is a kookaburra. Kookaburra. What would be their Tumblr replacing name or whatever?
I know some Australians myself, so they would all agree with me by saying that a kookaburra would be renamed as an annoying little shit.
Annoying little shit bird. Or...
Bull-headed
yeah.
rooster, I would guess. I don't know. I'm not very good at this. They're very determined little birds, and they're very loud.
I would call them laughing birds, or hyena birds, because they are laughing.
There you go.
Making the laughing sound. Hyena bird. Why not? Or hyena dove. Oh, it's more like a jay. It has more like a stature of a jay, so hyena jay.
Okay.
So, and because this has to go in here, woodpecker.
Headbangers Bach. MTV presents Headbangers Bach.
Slammy McTree face.
Slammy McTree. That could be a legit English name. I mean, you have like Willy Wagtails and...
Well, I was going off the Bodie McBoatface thing, but yeah.
Bodie McBoatface is the best. They actually made that, you know.
I know.
One of their lifeboats is Bodie McBoatface.
Yep.
I agree with Core. I think we can do that, yeah.
So then what would a griffin be?
Cat butts. That's the only thing.
We've kind of established that one. Very circularly.
Yeah, cat butt. Cat butt bird.
I don't think, because if you go with stupid or just cat butt, then remember, this is Tumblr, so.
Yeah, so cat butt would be applicable if it was just cat butt.
Yeah. Cat butt.
I would have to say the majestic sky flap flap.
But you're not flat.
Flap with a P.
Flap.
Well, then
flap, flap.
All birds could just be that.
No, but we're the majestic ones. Lord flapping, flap flap.
How about a flapping cat butt?
Sure. Flying cat butt.
Aerial feline.
I always imagine griffins flying like the cat butt is like hanging down while the bird part has struggles to get up. You know, like some bee or some stingy insect
they
that
do
has
lack
the
rudders.
Body down.
They totally lack aerial rudders.
No, the lion tail does a fine
does jack
job.
Shit.
What would be a raven?
It helicopters. That's how you do it.
A raven. We need to rename the raven.
That would be a Hot Topic bird.
How about...
Goth bird, basically?
Yes.
Goth birds, yeah, goth birds. Goth birds isn't bad.
That'd be okay.
Dark goth bird. Dark goth jay.
The Edgar Allan Crow.
Ravens would be the bird that always is confused with crows.
Be very upsetting.
Hairy beak bird.
Well, that's very... Corvid in the first place, like magpies and crows already have kind of like the fuzzies.
Yeah, they are all of the family hairy beak birds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think that about does it. Is there anything else we want to do before we take off?
Yeah, I have a last question for you.
Okay.
A very last question. Would you rather be a cool villain cartoon bird that always loses, or a very silly hero cartoon bird that always wins?
Well, obviously that always wins.
But you could be a cool villain cartoon bird.
See, I would go with
loses.
The... I would go with the cool villain bird that makes a redemption and becomes a cool hero bird. That way I get the best of both worlds and I get the awesome porn.
Okay.
but you have to decide between one of those.
Oh, no, I did. I would be the villain bird, but I would also have a redemption arc.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I would also be the cool villain cartoon bird because they are mostly cooler and they're well designed and they have awesome stories how they became villains and stuff. And like all the villains from Darkwing Duck, they all have awesome back history. You know how they. I always was interested in the episodes where you got the knowledge about how they became what they are, like Megawald. Megawald wanted to, by the way, trivia, Megawald wanted to be Megawatt at first, but then he saw, oh, there's already a band called that, so yeah, I'm Megawald.
Gotcha. Huh.
That's trivia.
You know, the villain backstories in Darkwing Duck remind me of the villain backstories in One Punch Man.
Oh my gosh.
One Punch Man.
I ate too much crab, and now I'm a villain.
Yep, that's pretty much it. God, I adore One Punch Man so much.
This is such a great anime. Such a great anime.
Because all it does is just make fun of other animes while actually kind of producing its own beautiful content.
Yeah, yeah.
Best character in... and I've told this to people who have no idea what One Punch Man is. I tell them that the best character is Mo-Man Rider. Because he is a superhero, and whose superpower is that he rides a bike.
Pretty much.
That sums it up.
My favorite enemy is in the first episode, and it's just the guy who took the magical steroids, and is like, his brother's like, hey, kill that guy on your shoulder. Slaps his shoulder, kills his brother.
Oh. No, my favorite.
That was just the best cheap joke ever.
My favorite is in the second episode with the giant lion, where Saitama actually has to use consecutive normal punches.
Yes. Anyways.
Oh, man. Anyways.
Thank you so much for joining us. And remember, always
the griffin is always right.
Oh, what? What?
The griffin is always right.
No, that's not true.
Beep.
Repeat what I'm saying. Always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Good Griffin.
I'm just chirpalicious.
There you go.
See, I don't have that the ego. Good. I don't have the ego that goes with...
Where does that ego come from?
I don't know. It was there before time started. In the beginning, there was nothing. And then Storm said, I need a place to put my shit.
And he did not tell you that you're practically the replacement.
He just dropped me off and then told me that he would be coming right back. And then I don't know where he went. And the place is closing. And I don't know.
Oh, he's a lost little dragon. We should drop him off at a fire station.
Okay. Good. The next question